Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Hey. Who are you? I haven't seen you in like months.
I know. It feels like decades quite here. But look, we had so many in the can.
I know. That was cool for a while, and then stuff started happening, and I'm like, I need to talk to Jackie. But I didn't want to talk to you off mic, so I didn't talk to you at all.
As flattering as all of that falls apart.
I ignored all your texts and calls.
Like, what? Look at the things that are happening. And yeah, so now, and no Kyle today because he's working for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you
just land?
I just landed from JFK about an hour ago. And
right.
You got in from Hong Kong?
Yeah, Bangkok.
Okay.
And last night. And then went and did a set because of peer pressure from you.
Yay!
3 weeks ago.
But don't you feel ready for
I feel
Regan?
Better. I actually
yeah.
feel better.
Yes. What time did you get in?
We landed at like 2, and so we got home at like 4.
At LAX, right?
LAX, yeah. And so the project.
That's the worst time to get in there.
Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just took a while, but we took a lift.
Okay.
So we didn't have to sweat it too much.
Yeah.
And then... I only have to do one set. The Bangkok set fell through, but the Hanoi happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then we got back. I slept hard for like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Got up. Also took a lift to Sunset UCB. I was like, I don't think I should drive.
You got to treat yourself.
Got to treat myself. And so that set at UCB Sunset cost me $40.
Oh my God.
I know. But I do feel better that I ran because she gave me 15 and I ran a 15 minute set and I was like, is it too political for Regan? Is it too... It was a little bit of a mess, but 3 of the dates I'm doing with them this week, and this will go up after I'm back, but... 3 of the dates are in Minnesota, so I can go into the vault.
You know,
and I can do some local references.
Oh, that's cool.
Do the old snowmobile bit.
Sure.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
How was your New York?
New York was good. We were off this week, you know, so
yeah.
I went out on Thursday night and I did sets on Friday. Then I did this on Saturday. I did this death conference.
Oh,
was
it a private that they booked for you?
No, there's this huge conference in Manhattan about reimagining the end of life. It's called Reimagine.
Okay.
And they had like 300 events all over Manhattan for a week. And the organizers by Saturday night, they were like, you know, they're very nice, but they were like really, I think, exhausted and stressed. And so I was part of the last night, which was a show at the Le Poisson Rouge.
C'est vrai.
Which is a restaurant, restaurant on top, and then a venue below where they have lots of, you know, 90s sing-along karaoke things and stuff like that. So they had, I did stand-up, and then this jazz trio from Brooklyn called Lil Rain.
Lil Rain? Lil Rain.
Do you know who they are?
They
were so good.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. And the woman, she's like a... Her voice was an instrument. I was like, what's that?
Was she scatting?
Or singing? Kind of scatting, but
yeah,
it was kind of a different beat. But anyways, fascinating. It was really beautiful.
Right.
And then 2 of the guys from the band Dispatch headlined, and they had all the fans there.
So it was a music kind of show.
But I opened with 20 minutes from my special. Actually, it was 18 minutes. They were very exact on time.
Yes.
You're going to do 18. Oh, okay.
Oh, fair enough. Noted. Did you listen to it again?
I did. So you could hit the beats? I scratched my eyes out.
Fair enough.
It was horrible. And it was, you know, it's weird because I recorded it 7 months after my dad died. And I can hear how new it all was to me.
Oh, right.
Still my voice.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh yeah, that I was still stunned at that point. You know,
right.
I'm like,
you were still
I'm not
in
stunned
it.
Anymore. Totally used to it, sadly.
There's
other jokes where I'm like, God, if I'd have sat on that for like 6 more months, it would have been so much tighter.
Right.
But it is what it was done when it was done at a certain time. And it's, you know, maybe it's supposed to be part of that.
And that was part of the experience. Yeah. Very much.
So I took a couple, I think I'm going to take a couple more jokes from that set and put them in a regular headline set when I'm trying to sell my book.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was, because some of that stuff is sort of timeless.
A lot of it's timeless. Yeah.
Because everyone dies.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about end of life.
And if I can improve them a little bit, I won't feel as guilty. And I feel like I, you know, a couple of them, I'm like, oh, I could cut this out or, you know, add some stuff to it. And
right.
So it won't be a bit I'll do again. It'll just exist in its nascent form on the CD, if anyone's listening to it, or the special, if anyone ever gets to watch it again.
Right. Right. I know. I came home to being on a list.
Oh my God. That made me lose my hair because I was stressed out by my jealousy.
Right.
I was very happy for you.
No, I know.
Everyone was on the list. I was like, yes. There wasn't a single person. I was like, ugh.
List could be a little bit longer. That's
little
all
bit,
you.
Just little bit.
One more person.
One or two. One or two.
I've been there with Liz and Jubinon, so yes, I totally, yeah.
We're so interconnected now. When it happens to you, I feel like it happens to me a little bit.
Right, right. And when it only halfway happens to you, or when it halfway happens to me, I'm always like, well, how come they didn't? What wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? Why? No, yeah. So exactly.
No, lists
so
are awful, and every comic has not been on one.
Right. And so the journey continues the fucking lists.
You're like, okay, so me, you know, that targeted exactly who I am. So I'm thinking, okay, either this person doesn't know who I am.
He does. She does.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Or they debated me with their editor and then was like, nah.
No. I know that the narrative going on in your mind.
That's all I'll accept, Jackie. And I
what about this? What about
otherwise.
This? The list was longer. Editor said you can only pick five.
Nah, she's not going to be in the top five. Nah.
Okay. I believe you got an apology on Twitter that from the author.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I did.
Yeah,
I
you did.
See it. No. I don't look at apologies. I tend to dive in deep to my bitterness and don't want to be dissuaded
just
from it.
Swimming around. You'd have liked the pools on this journey. There were pools, and they were sort of weird kind of faux infinity pools.
Yeah.
Like they bled off into the walkway. But they were nice and square, so if you wanted to do a lap.
I like an old chlorinated pool with lane lines painted on the bottom.
Right. You would have wanted a pool.
Yeah.
You would have wanted a real. Now
I
this.
Mean, yeah. If it's not a real lapsing pool, then I want it to be like a hot pool just to.
Oh, just to chill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we went and so I did a set in Hanoi.
Right.
And it was, I was like, how much time? And I didn't, I assumed it would be. Like a 15,
yeah.
But it was 30. You wanted me to do 30.
They wanted you to do 2 hours.
Right.
Like after the first three jokes, they put the lights away. Close it down.
And we got free t-shirts.
Oh my God.
And that's what we got. And then the headliner was a guy who we knew everybody in common, but I had never heard of him. He had never heard of me.
Who was it?
So,
you write his name down?
Nope. I would tell you his name if I could remember it.
Oh, okay.
But it was 3 weeks ago, and it's a blur.
Sure.
But here's the only thing that I remember about the gig besides the set going just fine. The set was great, but the bar where it was at was across the street from the lake that John McCain crashed into.
Oh,
in Vietnam.
Wow.
It was, and they're putting up a statue to John McCain in the lake.
Oh my God.
Which is
he's like a Madonna figure now.
I was like, I wish you guys had better self-esteem. Why would you put up a statue?
You know, he was coming after you.
Right. It was, and it's in North Vietnam. They were like, no, it's a statue of the Vietnamese pulling him out of the water. And I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because there were a bunch of statues that essentially were paid for by, like there's a statue of a Russian astronaut at this How Long Bay we went to.
Yeah.
There's a statue of Lenin in the middle of Hanoi.
So they just accept statues.
Right. Essentially, it's like the Walk of Fame. It's
Jackie,
a Walk of Fame star.
What if we sent a statue of ourselves to Vietnam?
Oh, we just have to send $1 million in aid. Because the crazy thing, they literally, It was, and the racism that I saw amongst each other and themselves was, I just want them to like each other more. And, but I will say this.
The intra-Vietnamese racism?
The South Vietnamese hate the North Vietnamese.
Oh, still?
Yes. The Vietnamese don't like the Cambodians and hate the Chinese. The Cambodians don't like the Vietnamese or the Thai, and the Thai only like themselves. And everybody and everybody is angry at how there's the sheer number of Chinese tourists there are while they cash their checks.
Interesting. I when I was doing my little web series, American English with Jimmy T.
Okay.
Part of
I don't know what that is.
I did this. I had this series where it was. I pitched it as a half hour, and Comedy Central said, "Yeah, we'd love it. Can you make it 30 seconds long?" I'm like, "Oh, okay." But the idea was,
who knew they were looking for 30-second chunks? I could do like hotel art.
2006. Okay. 2007. Okay. And so the original premise was there's this guy, a guy named Ryo, who ended up starring in it, is a comic from Japan.
Okay.
And he told me that he could only do like 8-minute sets. He kind of infamously could only do 8-minute sets because his mouth would get tired from speaking in English. Which I'm like, what?
That is awesome.
Fucking fascinating, yeah. Right? And then, and just some, I don't know, reading about the hierarchy within Asian nations about who hates who, and how obviously, especially during World War II, Japanese were the worst. And
right.
Looked down on everybody, you know, in different ways. And so the idea was, he comes to America, he's like a Japanese pop star.
Right.
Comes to America, shoots a show in English aimed at Japanese teenagers, and it teaches them slang.
Okay.
American slang. And while he's doing it, he slams the American he's talking to across all races across the board because he thinks he's better than everybody. So yes. It's like racism from an Asian person against a white person, which I was like, how fun is this?
And it was not being addressed. Certainly not in 2007.
But it was so interesting to, you know, as an American, you just think of your own little world and
right.
Slavery and racism from that and stuff, and you kind of like forget there's like a fucking continent over there that they're also human and right. awful and hate each other for dumb reasons.
There's
too.
All kinds of interesting hate going on all over the world. Interesting hate. So what? It was amazing. I did get to see. We went and saw an acrobatic troupe in Saigon,
right?
As one of the just an event. And so I saw two things. I saw an acrobatic troupe in Saigon that was mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a circus, but not with animals, just sort of a Cirque du Soleil thing, except mm-hmm. for that it was the tour group that we went on tries to give back to the communities that they go to. And so this circus, it's called Fair, Phare.
Yeah.
Probably not pronounced that way.
Right.
It's in Cambodia. It's in Siem Reap. And the circus itself are kids who are victims of human trafficking, who got caught back, or it was started by children.
What?
Yeah, it was started by some people who were victims of the Khmer Rouge, who were children, in an effort to try to save a generation.
Oh, my God. So everyone you're watching, you know, has been...
has had some sort of giant fucking drama in their lives. And so they were like, let's teach them tumbling and give them some self-esteem and give them something to do and a job and a weird thing.
And a physical thing too.
Right.
You own your body again.
Right.
Tumble away from somebody.
Exactly. And so it was, there were only like 11 people in the troupe and they, but there's several troops all over Cambodia now, and they've helped over the last, and they've been around, I think, Cambodia's only been around since for 25 years. If you go to Cambodia or Vietnam, everyone is, and in 1995, the sanctions against Vietnam stopped mm-hmm. from the United States. So everybody in 1995, the both places we went to, have been essentially busting their ass to try to catch up to the rest of the world. And so in Cambodia, so they have 1,200 kids that they've saved so far.
Gosh.
And in 25 years or less. And it's been, but they were really good. One of them got hurt. He twisted his ankle at one point. But they were, They were, you know, they were, it was gently funny. It was kind of very, the whole thing, the comedy in it was in both cases, both the Vietnamese one and the Cambodian one, was sort of a sweet, like the Cambodian thing had, the Vietnamese one were like short stories. They were like little vignettes.
Yeah.
I was like, life in a small village, life in a big village, life in the big city, and what are the animals doing? So it was really funny.
And I asked myself that frequently. What are the animals doing?
They did impressions of turtles. It was fun. Anyway, and in Cambodia, it was all just sort of jumping around, and it was an old folktale that they were reenacting about someone being different and then praying to the gods, being turned into somebody hot. Getting some revenge, and then the
attractive
gods going,
or physically hot,
attractive.
Okay,
and then the gods going, that's not why we made you hot. And then so the whole thing, it was a spoiler alert. If you go to Cambodia, that's the current story being told. But it was, but to see other performers in other, you know, and what the comedy was like. There was one Vietnamese comic at the Hanoi thing.
Yeah.
And he only did about 7 minutes.
Did he in English? Or?
In English. Okay. Because it was all an English audience, English-speaking audience. And and he had like 3 or 4 minutes that were pretty mean and gross.
Like sexist or something?
Yeah, just sexist and vaguely racist. And then
was
probably...
it
No. Okay. It didn't work very well. But then he had like 3 or 4 minutes that were actually very funny. Hmm. So... I don't know how long he's been doing it. I think a long time.
Oh.
But he's in another language and he's, you know.
Sure.
And I just followed him.
They don't have a comedy scene there. And like, do Vietnamese people want to see stand-up comedy in Vietnamese, or is that just not an art form that they're interested
in? Well, you know, there's that Josh Weinstein documentary mm-hmm. that Louis Lee.
Oh, yeah.
He brought Chad Daniels, Pete Lee, and Tom Segura to essentially Hong Kong and Macau.
Yeah.
And was talking about the comedy scene there. And Vietnam seemed to be comparable. There was nothing in Cambodia as far as like... expat stand-up comedy, and local comedy in Hong Kong and Macau is all in English. So if you're Chinese and you want to do open mic, you have to do it in English.
Yeah.
So I saw in Hong Kong a couple of those open mics, and it was kind of hilarious and incredibly cool to watch these young Chinese comics try to do stand-up in English, where they're trying to do the joke in another language. So they're just peppering it with just fucking curse words. They're like, I can't find the word I want to say.
Oh.
And not fuck just for the sake of swearing.
Yeah. Just frustration.
But frustration in, I know there's a word. And
we do that on this podcast 10 times a podcast.
Exactly. That's just us losing our sense of what the fuck is the next word?
I don't know. Fuck.
Exactly.
What's that word
What
for
is
it?
That word? Okay. So this week when we go up, I was supposed to do 6 p.m. flappers with you on Saturday.
You're not?
No.
Well, it's not till the 17th.
Right. Which I forgot that I had my replacement wise guys weekend in Salt Lake City.
Oh.
So I just found out that I can not play Dungeons and Dragons that day because I got to fly. I'm doing Oxnard with Maria on Thursday, but then on Friday I got to go do Salt Lake City.
Are you doing levity?
I'm doing
Oxnard?
In Oxnard? Probably.
Oh, okay.
And have you done it?
Yeah, once. I'm like, why aren't I working this club?
Yeah. That is a very basic question that should be.
Who books that?
Levity?
Yeah.
Do I not know
the Levity people, or are they somehow connected?
Is it Erin?
To the improv? I don't know if she likes me.
Well, I think here's my theory on Erin, who has booked me once, one headline weekend in the last 30 years.
Your theory can't hurt my chances of working there.
It can't hurt my chances of working there.
Okay.
And all it is that she, I think, I don't know that what I was told was that she didn't have all the power, that the Robert guy was doing everything, that she had to run everything by him.
We don't sound like we've been in the business 30 years. The Robert guy,
yeah, whatever his name is. You know, and the thing, it's hard enough for me to remember comics names. I can remember their bits.
Right.
And so, but the,
Well,
and then so I do think that she likes people, but I don't know
who are we supposed to contact.
I don't know, but
I feel like everyone that's headlining there, because I've looked a couple times, I'm like, oh, they must have management calling for them or somebody calling right. for them.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's I just sent something off because TJ Mark Walter is helping me over mm-hmm. at Kirsch because of Maria, and so I was like, hey, can I do Boston? Because you did Boston.
Yeah, it's a great gig.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yes. Yeah, you stay in a nice hotel in the gig. Like when the right gig there. Is at the bottom of the hotel. Yeah,
yeah, I would love that.
Great.
I would love that.
Yeah.
So far, no, I cannot.
Oh.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Because that really defines stand-up comedy. Maybe. Maybe one day.
It's true. People change their minds, or they get fired, or they forget why they hated you. I think right. that's the thing that's the I most they love. Forget why they hated you. And you right. forget why you hated them, and you know, all of a sudden you're working there.
Oh, I love when I forget when I hate somebody. When I first moved here, I used to go to all the open mics, right?
Yeah.
And there was a woman who I literally, I don't know if you ever knew her, and...
Oh, yes, I do know her. She's originally from my neck of the woods.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
And
are you about to say something negative about her?
Well, she was just super pissy.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, yeah. She was pissy. And so we had a confrontation one time.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Where it was just open. And
she lives in England now. Right, she works in the UK.
And she's wonderful.
Yeah.
But she's always been funny
yeah.
and smart. But we just had a bad time one time where we had an altercation, but
yeah.
just like a sort of a spitting match. I don't even know what to call it.
Interesting.
But she genuinely walked away after just after saying something super mean to me, and then I saw her 3 weeks later, I had forgotten that I didn't like her anymore, and I was like, hey, how you doing? And she kind of paused, and then she was like, I'm fine. And then we were nice to each other from that moment on again.
It's almost it's really stupid to hold a grudge in comedy, you know? Yeah. Because at some point you're just grateful people are still doing it and they didn't quit. And
right, and you're still hanging out with them. And
yeah, and you have common history. It's dumb after a while. Right. Usually it's dumb shit that you're mad about.
Right.
You know?
And if it's real, feel free to hold on to it. but if it isn't real and then later I remembered that I was mad at her and I was like, oh, but if you didn't in the moment, you don't get any gall. I mean, you don't
get to leave enough of an impression.
Exactly. So just rebuild,
start over.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Hmm. So, and you haven't seen her since then?
No, I saw her probably 3 or 4 years ago. She was in town because she is doing Europe and she came back for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, by the way, can I have $180 from Patreon? Because Lipson is actually charging us for this.
Yes,
now.
I haven't taken my money out of the thing either. But yeah, let's figure
let's
that
out. Let's take some money out.
Yes.
You guys, we have a Patreon and you're doing the Lord's work.
Thank you. And we should have like prizes for people, right?
Yeah.
Or gifts.
You know what? I recorded that set in Hanoi.
Open it up.
I was going to put it up for people.
Well, what is... Not that that's not a prize, but...
You put a set up for $80.89.
That's not a prize. That's not
like a prize.
That's no gift.
You didn't think that was a gift?
No.
Okay.
But I mean, like, we have stickers we could mail to them.
I also have a bag of t-shirts, the ones I didn't like.
Yeah, t-shirts. Yeah. Well, let's not pitch it that way.
The ones.
Join our Patreon and get a t-shirt Jackie doesn't like.
Right. How about that, you guys?
But maybe we could get a coffee mug or something. I don't know. What do you think? Something like that? Or
yeah,
people
trinkets?
Have too many coffee mugs?
People have... I don't know. What do other people do? Feel free to email me, jackie@jackiecation.com, and tell me what your Patreon... what crap you would like to get, or what would be a prize?
Yeah.
Is that what the word you used?
Prize? I don't know. Are you okay? Do you need to sleep? I feel like you're having a stroke right now.
I might have failed. Get this. In the midst of it, started having hot flashes.
Oh.
While I was on... While I was there, I had my first one.
That's your first one?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which means that I think we might be done.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm willing to wrap it up. And anybody want some completely brand new unused tampons?
I had just bought so many tampons when I stopped needing them.
That is a drag.
I mean, like at Costco levels of pads
oh my God.
And tampons.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took them to the Burbank... temporary shelter, I think.
Well, you know, there you go.
They use them.
Yeah, people need them.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you, so where are you in town this week doing?
I am.
What will be this week?
I am.
Doing what's sets?
What will be last week is I'm in Santa Barbara last Saturday.
And okay. Essentially upcoming, but it'll be over.
Yeah.
If
you're in Cleveland or near Cleveland, I'll be at Hilarity's Thanksgiving weekend. And it would be great to have really good numbers at that club so I can go back.
Yeah. Because they're booking. They like numbers. Clubs.
Yeah, they do. More than they like. Well, you know what? Let's not get negative. But they booked me. Hey, any place I work is officially a good club that's not sexist. But I mean, we've just been talking to our friends and just going, Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
We have friends that should be working every single night of their lives. They're so funny, female comic friends.
Yep.
And the fact that they're not, or they have weeks off is, shocking to me. They're so fucking funny.
If something's slow, if the week is slow, like I'll get an email from somebody, any number of comics, will just be like, oh, and guy comics too. I mean, mm-hmm. I get like really funny guy comics who are like, well, I guess I don't do stand-up anymore. I don't have anything this fall. And then, but 2 weeks later, they're like, well, I picked up some stuff.
Yeah.
And, but
yeah,
it's,
comedy's an awful, it makes
it's
you
such a hit and miss kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're paranoid.
But I mean, like Deb Giovanni should be working nonstop.
Nonstop.
She should never have a night off.
Same with Rontowski.
Yes, Rontowski and Kira.
Rontowski's doing Wise Guys this month as well. So
cool.
If you're in Salt Lake,
is that where Dry Bar is recorded?
I don't think so, but maybe in Utah.
Are you going to do Dry Bar?
I'm not doing Dry Bar.
Okay.
Dry Bar doesn't need me in my...
I wonder how much Brad Upton is making on corporate gigs now. Holy shit.
Maybe good money.
Yeah.
Because it's 6 million hits or something, right?
Way more than that. That was like 3 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it must be.
Well, because I know
that
both Rontowski and Tommy Ryman have a lot of hits on that Dry Bar thing.
I don't
over
know
a million.
Tommy, I haven't seen his set.
Oh, you don't know Tommy?
I don't think
he was
I
on
do.
America's Got Talent. He's from Minneapolis, a comic.
Yeah?
He comes to the breakfast sometimes.
Maybe I've met him then.
Yeah.
And Karen has how many on hers?
Over a million.
Jesus. Is she getting like more album sales or music like requests or sound exchange money?
I hope so.
Wow.
And then I heard, here's the good news I heard is that the good label to be on for stand-up comedy is the 800-pound gorilla.
Whose label is that?
Chad Daniels.
Oh. I didn't know Chad Daniels had a label.
No, it's not his label.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought you meant what albums are on that label.
Oh.
Because somebody else just had a new one. Oh, Aaron Jackson's new album's coming out. It's available for pre-order. You guys, go out and buy.
Yes.
It's called Grudgery. And Aaron Jackson.
I just saw her at stand-up.
Oh, did you?
New York.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and,
she's outstanding.
This has happened a couple times, not just with Aaron, but there's a comic I'll see in New York and I'll be like, when did you move out here? And they'll be like, I was born and raised here, and or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I'm just not going to stop asking. I don't know. I just can't keep track of people's hometowns
right,
and where they started.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
People still say to me, do you live in Los Angeles?
No more asking where people live. You're just revealing your weaknesses as a person.
It's always, and the thing is it can sometimes make you infuriated that someone did not know. It's sort of like asking names, even though I can't get over it. If I could remember everyone's name, I would.
Yes.
So it's nothing. When somebody asks, sometimes people will say, do you live in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Like one, or if you're still doing stand-up comedy.
Oh,
or,
no, I would never.
I accidentally asked Kevin Meaney that one.
No!
I know. Before he died.
Well, that makes it worse.
I thought he had a game show gig.
No, I mean, he was on in Hairspray on Broadway.
Okay.
Pretty
so
sure.
He was doing theater.
Yeah, but you
I thought he was acting.
You can still do spots after your fucking theater at night, right?
Well, you can and he can, obviously. but he was genuinely like, I think he wanted to murder me.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. But I mean, that I think is the worst. Are you still doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
But then the other one is, when did you start? When did you start? Usually, I get that usually from an ancient dinosaur male comic asking me or another young woman comic. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Forbes thinks that I'm a hit with the Ute. Did you see that?
I honestly couldn't read. I scrolled, I saw the pictures, and then I cried. But I'm happy for you. What happens to you happens to me. I told myself that 7 times very quickly in front of a mirror.
Oh, good. Good to hear it. You are right. And but I will say that it's usually some, you know, it is always, nobody ever asks me, how long have you been doing it?
Yeah.
Who's done it less than me?
Right. Yeah.
And it's usually some guy who wants to tell me how long he's been doing it.
I haven't met, there's not a ton of people that have been doing stand-up longer than us at this point that we see out in clubs now.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's people that you see in a store.
Right,
like the one generation ahead of us.
Right.
Yeah, but we don't see them much in clubs.
And this is not a bad guy, but right. this guy was the last guy who asked me. And he wants to tell me how he worked with Richard Pryor or...
The thing is, guys like that have stories about comics that young comics don't know. They're like, Richard who? You know, so they want to tell their stories to somebody who at least knows who all the participants in the story are.
Maybe,
And
you're a better person than me.
Richard Pryor's an exaggeration, but there's other people where, like, you and I would appreciate a John Fox story.
The guy who
jacked off into mayonnaise and left it in the condo. Now, other comics might not. For every person
who ever went to a, you know, I never
it ruined
met him.
Mayonnaise for me. I don't even eat tuna fish because of John Fox.
I think that's funny.
Tell it to Forbes.
Tell it to Forbes. I know Forbes seems respectable. I don't think that's how people get Netflix specials.
I know. Let me check out this economics magazine too
to see who we should be booking. Okay, so we are at a half hour.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm watching, and so let's do our comic of the week.
Keeping watch, Casey Conley.
So funny, and I've worked with her at Flappers, and she's working around.
I did too. I did a set with her at Flappers, like before we did our 8 podcasts in a row,
right?
And I was like, I saw her, and I'm like, dang, we've already done her. She's so funny,
right?
We haven't. Could have sworn we did,
right? So Casey Conley is K-A-Y-C-E-E. Faux show. I should never ever do an accent.
That sounds racist.
F-O.
Yeah.
F-O-S-H-O.
Casey Fasho.
There you go. On the Twitter. It'll be in the notes. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. She is great. She also is on this week's, or will be last week's, Dork Forest, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
And which is another great, I've been thinking about having a comic of the week because I'm like, I wonder if they'd want to do the Dork Forest.
And her, now that we've given you this amazing prize.
Exactly. This prize is that you're going to want to do. And she, her dorkdom was Joni Mitchell. And I don't know anything about Joni Mitchell, so
I don't either. I for unfairly to Joni Mitchell, lump her in with Bob Dylan, whose voice I can't stand, and the two of them can just go on a boat and sail away from me.
She but doesn't like Bob Dylan either. That's what I learned.
Okay, love Joni Mitchell, so I need to disconnect them.
Yes,
in my head,
right? So you can let them. And what else you got?
So I'm working out this chunk, right? This Anne Frank.
Oh,
the story of telling my son about menstruation while reading Anne Frank, right? So, and I do have some needless Anne Frank jokes, but I still like them.
Right.
You can't just ignore it. It's the elephant in the room.
Okay. Right.
So I thought I was good, right? I'm like, all right, this chunk's good. And then... Where do I go?
Where do you go?
Where do you think I went to find out that it wasn't good?
The internet?
Comedy and Magic.
Oh.
I go to Hermosa Beach. I'm like, this is the final test.
Oh, right. Because you get the 5-minute set.
I failed.
And it didn't work
because
road.
I think
Comedy and Magic is more road than anything.
It's a road audience, and they're used to Tonight Show sets. They're used to 10 comics doing 7 of their best minutes. So if you're... If your chunk doesn't work there, it's not ready yet.
Right.
So I was so depressed. Like, I'm driving home on a Friday night. I'm like, oh my fucking God. I've been only thinking about this thing for like a month and a half.
Right.
And I thought I finally solved the Rubik's Cube.
Right.
And clearly I haven't.
Right. And so now you have to get back into the fucking lab with
it. Yeah. Now, and I have nothing else I'm working on that I can, like, at least, you know, be excited about. So then, I don't know. Oh, and then a couple nights later, I was doing this set outdoors in Echo Park, like at a bar in like Glassell Park or something like that. But I thought, well, let me, instead of opening with I'm reading Anne Frank to my son, because people flinch immediately. They're like, right. and that's what happened with Hermosa Beach. Like they're immediately like, oh my God, no. I started doing, I have three menopause jokes that are about not having a period.
Yeah.
And then I kind of back into, and I told my son about, my son found out about menstruation while we were reading Anne Frank. Like, I just say it very quickly
and
get right back into menstruation. So people kind of, they're like, oh, it's not about Anne Frank, but they know it. And then I call it back later. It's ha ha, motherfuckers. It is
about Anne Frank. And that is...
So that's working. But it's weird, like, because I was like, oh, that's the end laugh. But now it's the first laugh. Like, it's the first part of the chunk, not the very last.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird how, if I can be profound, sometimes your closer is your opener, folks.
That's it. That's the way it... Now, it's weird that you would say that, because I am having... I'm trying to figure out the new album, right?
Right.
Because it's 2 years now.
Yeah.
And so now I have all the jokes that could go on that album.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 50 minutes.
Wow.
But it needs...
Dang.
Well, it needs to be tightened, and it needs an order. And my new closer, I thought... Which is weird, because it's weird that I would think that the Viking portrait thing would be... The Viking picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the closer, because there's two jokes that come after it. So
that is odd.
It's weird. There's a dog joke, and then there's a millennial joke, and so it's just weird that it would come after that, and it doesn't hit hard enough. So I have to figure out. So I genuinely was thinking about opening with the Viking joke and seeing what works with that, just because it's a good joke. I mean, it's a good joke wherever you put it. It just isn't strong enough to close with.
Right.
And
right.
So I need to have, and traditionally, you know, you usually, and this isn't everybody, but it's almost everybody. Don't you think that everybody ends a long set with a dick joke?
Yeah.
When you hear somebody go into a dick joke, you're like, oh, it's probably their closer.
Yeah, get your car keys. they're wrapping up. You want to get out of the club quick before they try to sell you their bumper sticker.
Their crazy merch. And and you want to get out of the lot. So get your car keys. Yeah. So maybe I'll try that. I know that... With the Regan set, so what I have is I have the Regan sets this week.
Mm-hmm. And how long are they?
They're 15 to 20s.
Okay.
So I still have nightmares, actually, about the one time that I went short. I did 11.
Yeah.
And it beat me up like nobody's business. And he hopefully has forgotten it.
I think probably so. He gave you three nights this week.
He gave four.
Four? Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's essentially, I think it goes Duluth, Rochester, Minneapolis, Winnipeg.
Are you guys flying to each location?
Well, we're flying into Minneapolis, and then we'll probably take his bus up to, because Duluth is probably...
Who drives his bus up to Minneapolis?
A bus driver. He's got a guide. He's got an over-the-road bus guy.
God, I want to see his finances. I just want to know, like, how much he's making and how much all this costs. It obviously must still be worth it. He must be making way more than it costs.
Right.
He owns his own bus?
Yeah.
So where does he park it when he's not on the road?
He just parks it in like a... I think it's based out of Vegas.
The bus?
The bus is based... He lives in Las Vegas.
So does he just rent a bus when he's going touring? No, or does he have his own that he's tricked out, like the Partridge Family?
He's tricked it out.
Wow.
So, and it's got a series of bunk beds for the rest of us, which is quite nice.
I'm not trying to be nosy, but I mean, I just want to know how much all that costs.
Well,
that's just a different level of stand-up than I think I'm ever going to be doing.
Well, I don't know. Well, here's the real question.
Unless you really hit it big.
Right. Here's the real question, though, is if you were that, if you hit it that big, would you want a bus?
Fuck yeah. And a plane. Everything.
Well, no, because the thing is he has the bus because he doesn't like hotels.
Oh, no, I want hotels. Bus yeah. to the hotel. No.
He was doing bus to the hotel. And then we were do a fair number of overnight drives.
Why doesn't he stay in a nice hotel instead of getting a bus?
He does stay in nice hotels.
He doesn't like a hotel?
He doesn't like a hotel. Because you know how it is in hotels, right?
Yeah.
Where you show up and there's usually a problem.
Right.
You get up to your room, the card has been demagnetized.
But you hire then you have a problem to go- guy. The bus driver, the guy you're paying to
drive. No, he's got a tour manager.
Yeah, that guy does everything for you.
Right. What that guy does, all he can do for you is hand you your keys. So you don't have to check in. That's great.
Why doesn't he go upstairs and check the door ahead of time for Brian?
Well, this gets into a sort of a Marie Antoinette Fabergé egg kind of fucking thing.
Why not?
But if that's a job, it can be a job.
And yes.
I think at some point, and of course, the real reason is because Brian Regan doesn't want to be a Fabergé egg. Mm-hmm. He just wants to do stand-up.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to get mad at people for things that he knows are ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I know I shouldn't care. It's not that
big of a deal. He doesn't want to be that Louis bit that Louis did on SNL about being mad that...
Oh, right. Yeah. And so, he doesn't want to be that. He doesn't want to be that guy. So I think he's just like, I think it's easier if I just... Because he has a bedroom in the back of the bus. And it's got all of his stuff.
But Jackie, where's his lap pool?
Right. I think, he puts the rest of us up in a very nice hotel. Wow. That probably has a lap pool.
So he sleeps in the bus overnight while you guys are in a hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it must be nice. It's a real nice bus.
Can you take pictures?
No, I don't think so.
You can't show me. We won't post them anywhere.
Well, at which point the Patreon people are like, what am I getting?
Sticker, shut up. You're getting a sticker.
We're also going to do Sketchfest.
Oh, yeah.
That's in January or February?
January 27th. It's a Sunday.
We're going to do a live Jackie and Laurie.
Going to do a live Jackie and Laurie.
In San Francisco.
And yeah, we're going to do some stand-up and then a pod.
Right. And then we're hoping to do one in New York. A stand-up and a pod.
Yeah, we have a couple dates.
In February.
And we're going to contact
New York City.
QED, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also like the Bell House, and people were telling me about other places that we could get a nice place.
What was I going to say? Oh, I've been, Conan started his tour.
Yeah.
And so I've been sort of...
Yeah, like the first dates.
Looking into the future.
Right.
I mean, they're on a corporate jet.
Are they?
Yeah. Now, it's not... like, my best flying experience was business class on Emirates to Dubai.
Right.
So it's not like that. They're not in pods where they can sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also flights where you don't need to sleep, I guess.
Right, because you're going to be flying to Seattle.
I want a fucking pod to Seattle. I want to sleep.
We had pods,
I
would take melatonin. Pods to Southeast Asia.
What?
We had pods to Southeast Asia.
But you paid for that, right?
Yeah, business.
Wow. Oh,
because
that was nice.
It was the entire purpose, like the 3 weeks, the 18 days in Vietnam and Cambodia, less than the cost of the flight.
Oh, my God.
Because... A couple of things are happening, and the reason I've invested in this.
Yeah.
One, 53 years old.
Right.
Second reason, I need to be diamond next year. And so...
Oh, pushes you over the hump?
This gets you better medallion qualifying miles. And, because it's all... But it was...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and... When I knew that I was coming back and going back on the road, I needed to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
And so I got probably, and it was a 5.5 hour flight from Bangkok to Korea and an 11 hour flight from Korea to LAX.
Oh my God.
So 17 hours.
Yeah.
Right. And I probably slept 5 of those hours. Like I laid down and tried to sleep.
Yeah.
And couldn't get to sleep.
But
on
you
part
could
of
lay
it.
Down. It's
but
so
I could
relaxing.
Lay down. It was much better. It was literally Yeah, it was much better. And of course, they feed you every 6 hours, and you're like, "Stop feeding me."
We're staying in 5-star hotels, which I'll tell you afterwards.
Right, what those are?
Yeah.
If you go to a Ritz-Carlton, I'd like a pen. They have the best pens, and I have two of them.
I want to stay in hotels, and I want to stay in hotels with robes and slippers and bathtubs. I took a bath this weekend.
Oh. Was it great?
I get to my roommate was out of town.
Okay.
And I was like, oh God, please let me have a bath bomb. Because I thought I had like a 10-year-old bath bomb from Lush that I'd never used. And I did. I found it. And
oh my God.
Yeah. And
was it fun?
For me, a bath is a long situation.
Okay.
Like I get the water really hot, and then I get halfway at my calf, and then I jump out in pain.
Right. Okay.
That's how I get my body used to it.
Okay.
I like it super, super hot, and then I get in, and then I was fascia blasting, and that took a while. And
sure. Sorry, it's a project.
In and out, in and out. Yeah. I need to be alone, and I need two rooms to have a bath.
Oh my God. So hotel art, when we were in, I think it was in Cambodia, Andy and I, we come into the, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do an episode of hotel art. And he's like, okay, I'm going to use the bathroom. And so I'm shooting hotel art, mm-hmm. and there's the pictures in front of me. I turn left. There's a giant window into the toilet. And Andy is sitting on the toilet. I laughed for a minute. I laughed. I had to re-record, obviously, because that felt invasive. And then I laid on, and he laughed. He was like, I will sit on that toilet, and then you can rediscover it, and it will still be funny.
You know,
and it was funny, but I laughed so hard.
When I've been reading the hotel reviews at the places I'm trying to stay in Japan.
Okay.
With my kid. People have complained that there's like a window into the toilet or like a glass partition or something. It's not a full bathroom door. It's like a glass partition where you can see everything. That is odd. That's an odd
habit. There was a door and then on the long wall, like the bathtub wall.
Right.
That's where the window was.
That's crazy.
It was nuts. I've seen it before though. Maria stayed. I did not. They put me up in a different hotel, but they put her up in New York at this boutique hotel.
Yeah.
In the Lower East Side.
What's it called?
Don't know. Mm-hmm. But whatever it was,
right.
It had sort of a cubicle vibe for the bathroom.
Right.
It was all open and the bathtub was in the middle of the room.
Oh my God.
And I think she was staying there and two walls were windows out into New York.
So could people see her use a bathtub?
I assume. In theory. Windows being how they work both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't mirrored.
Yeah, they weren't mirrored.
Not to my knowledge.
Oh my God.
But it was nuts. It was Crazyville. But this trip, we took an overnight train through Vietnam, and we had an overnight boat in this bay in Vietnam that the next day we went and looked at caves. We looked at these giant caves
where people had been hiding during the Vietnam War and stuff.
No. Mm. It was just, they were just beautiful caves that had been there forever. And though I'm sure people did hide, we didn't do in Vietnam. It wasn't so much about the war until we got to Saigon. In northern Vietnam, everyone, they're too busy trying to currently stay alive to remember the Vietnam War.
Wow.
Literally, you'd be like, it made me laugh, but it also almost made me cry because you'd run into these people who are like, I own this chair. It's now a store.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
I'm going to put something on it. You can buy. I made these friendship bracelets. This is my store. This chair.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I have a pot.
Right.
It's a restaurant. And it didn't matter like what they owned. They put it on the fucking chair and that was their store. And so, and my favorite haggling moment in Vietnam was I went out of the hotel to get a coffee. Mm-hmm. So a Vietnamese coffee, which was amazing everywhere we went in Vietnam.
Does it taste good or is it highly caffeinated? What's amazing?
It tastes great.
Okay.
And somewhere between 60 and 75 cents an iced coffee.
Right.
So that is 24,000 dong is a dollar. So it was usually
dong,
D-O-N-G. Yes, we're all 9 years old inside. There's a dick joke.
I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, no worries.
And we're not even at the end. You think we'd be at the end of the podcast when Jackie brings out
the
24,000 dong.
And so I go out of the hotel to ask to because the hotel for some reason doesn't have any coffee. And but in all the hotels, the coffee was about $1.50. It was ended up being an iced coffee was about more like 50,000 dong. Anyway, so I go out of the hotel, I go around the corner, I go into a bodega kind of thing, and I was like, "Do you have iced coffee?" And they did. And he makes it for me, and I said, "So 40,000 dong?" And the guy in almost perfect English goes, "20,000 dong, and take care of yourself."
Oh, no. He's like, he said, "Take care." Bad would happen to
he
you.
He was like, "Take care of yourself out there." And he was like, "You will be taking advantage of this." So,
and did you tip him?
I didn't, just because I gave him a 40,000 note, and he gave me 20,000 back and sent me on my way.
Okay.
And but it was fast. I mean, the money part of it was fascinating. The fact that some of the people I was traveling with wanted to negotiate at all. I was like, okay, it's $6. Everything's $6. Give them $6.
Yeah.
What are you, nuts? And there was only four Americans, my two friends mm-hmm. from college, and Andy and I. And then there were like six New Zealanders and four Australians. And it was a trip. Everyone was actually really nice. Mm-hmm. I was afraid 18 days with these people, I'm going to hate these people.
Yeah.
And I didn't hate any of them. A couple of them partied a little too hard, but they didn't need me to party with them. So what did I care? Mm-hmm. And there was this one woman from Australia who was a cop.
Were you guys all part of a group?
Yeah, it was like a tour group.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, and some of them had to share rooms with people. And I was like, no, I'm right. So glad I have a buddy.
So you and Andy joined a tour.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Because my friends from college were doing the tour already. And
okay.
I'd always wanted to go to Cambodia and Vietnam. And so I was just willing to go for 4 days. And Andy was like, I'm not willing to fly 17 hours and go look at Angkor Wat and then get back on an airplane and come home.
Oh, my God.
So, but I didn't want to take 3 weeks off of stand-up.
Sure.
I thought that my life would change. Little did I know that I'd be on a list in Forbes.
Oh, my God. You left stand-up and you came back to a list.
I know. I came back to
what
a list.
What lesson does that teach us?
Exactly. It's sort of like Janelle James.
Oh, yeah. Cast at the Cellar takes a week off.
Exactly.
Crazy.
You knew exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, when I was in Japan, I'm just replicating my previous solo vacation there.
Right, but with
my kid.
With the ute.
Yeah.
When are you guys going?
We leave on the 21st of December.
Okay, so you're going to go for Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Christmas is the emperor's birthday. And
all right.
It's everything shut down. last time I was there in Kyoto, I took a cooking class. This guy has a cooking class in his house and he just has six people at a time.
Nice.
And he teaches you how to prepare Kobe beef and other Japanese,
sushi or not?
Like you know, the sushi he might rice? Have a sushi. He doesn't do sushi. He does more. Well, he does Kobe. That's all I know. Anyway, so I emailed him again, and he had an opening. So my kid and I are going to take the same class I took. By the way, I forgot everything.
Right.
I haven't cooked a single thing. He's like, God. I might repeat stuff. I'm like, I only pour cereal, so it's fine.
We took a cooking class in Vietnam, and it was amazing.
Wow.
And she emailed us all the recipes.
Oh, neat.
So I can possibly duplicate them here. Seems unlikely. But I bought trinkets. I bought the thing that was before hacky sacks. They had this weird, there's a feather with coins attached to it. And so I bought a couple of those. And I bought a how to make Vietnamese coffee kit.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a lantern because we went to a town full of lanterns.
Sure.
And we were in Bangkok for just a day and a half, right? Mm-hmm. And Andy was like, I want to go do a bunch of things. And I said, you know, there's a hop-on, hop-off boat.
Oh, cool.
And so like the hop-on, hop-off bus here.
Yeah,
and I was like, let's go full tourist this last day. I can't see any more temples. I don't want to – there's barely a museum I want to see, mm-hmm. right? So In Vietnam, we went to the Vietnam War Museum, which is not what it's called, of course.
Right.
It's called the War Remnants Museum.
Wow.
And then we went to, and then when everybody else went to climb through a hole that the Viet Cong used to live in, we went to an art museum to see about the future of Vietnam.
I went to a museum in Japan, and you forget. Yeah, we were at war
yeah.
a while ago, because there's a room full of art that was done during World War II.
Right.
And, you know, it's all describing the Americans as the enemy. And
sure.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
This is back in 2012 when people liked us, sort of.
And sort so of, yes.
It was shocking that we would be the enemy.
That we would be the enemy now. That's the current... That's what's being curated as we speak.
Yeah. In fact, Emmanuel Macron said today, he said, we have to be careful of Russia and China. And then he said, and even the United States. Like, he was telling France.
Who is he?
He's the president of France.
Thanks.
Our greatest ally.
Our greatest ally, France.
How much time have we done?
I am so sorry to tell you, 55 minutes.
Oh, we're close.
We're so close.
I'm tired. Are you tired?
Yeah, I'm tired.
And I agreed to do new material night at the Comedy Store tonight.
Oh, did you?
I don't have anything new. I just had tweaks on stuff that's medium new.
Oh,
now is I that gotta what? Write a bunch of jokes.
Yeah, write a bunch of jokes.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the mood to. I've been up since 3:30 in the morning this
exactly.
time, and I have to go swimming with my kid now. I'm in the mood to write jokes after that.
You're going
to
swim. You're going to be nice and tired, and you're just, you know, you can, do you have any go-tos as far as like, hey, I need new material?
No.
Mm-mm. You don't have
just
like topics?
Sexual abuse, whatever, you know.
You're like the old, the topic that always comes up when you're like, oh yeah, I remember when that horrible thing happened. It's, what about, You could write jokes about something good that happened in someone else's life that you're related to.
Why would I go up on stage and write to talk about someone else's good life?
Because you could make fun of it. Just think of that. It could be like, what's it like being sisters? You and your sister.
I don't know. I hate this workshop I'm in right now.
This workshop has 3 more minutes left.
You know
to
what?
It.
Some of my very right-wing cousins moved yes. from the Bay Area to Idaho.
So they could
who knows,
be away
be more
from
right
the,
wing.
Right. So they could somehow be more terrible.
Yeah.
It's
a father, a daughter, and her daughters. Like the whole entire
generation.
I hate to use the word clan moved to Idaho. What is happening? What are you doing?
Right. And
it's my godfather.
Really?
The father's my godfather. It's really weird.
I like that you've used the word clan, first of all. That's exactly. Why don't you do that joke tonight? And why don't you work on that? Because the funny thing is they're going to get to Idaho and they're going to find out.
Oh, they're there.
And maybe they'll be able to find the dirtbags that agree with them immediately, but they're going to find out there's a lot of not dirtbags in Idaho.
Yeah, that's true. But they, there's a faction of the Catholic Church that's mm-hmm. like, they hate John, they hate, Pope Francis. They liked Pope Benedict. There's a faction of the Catholic Church that they belong to that's very, very right wing.
That's
and
weird.
They're waiting for Pope Francis to die.
Right. That seems.
They think he's a socialist, and
wow,
don't think he's infallible.
Right. That's yeah. so weird.
I know it is weird because it's like
he's Catholic.
If you're Catholic, you're supposed to.
Right. The Pope is the guy.
So you're only going to believe someone's infallible if you agree with what they
their politics,
which isn't really.
It's sort of like my oldest brother and his line vetoing of the Bible. Did I tell you about that? I think I did. It's my oldest brother is an evangelist and he published a new copy of the Bible.
Yeah.
That he said that he translated.
I haven't bought it yet.
No, it's available for purchase. He had it leather bound. Self-published.
Oh my God.
Self-published.
How much money did he spend doing that?
$10,000.
Wow.
He spent a great deal of money.
Wow.
And he...
That's a year of college. Not in a top tier university, but in some places.
Sure. And I don't think he's providing for his youngest son at this point.
Mm.
I provided a PS4 for his youngest son recently. So But I got it for free, so it was...
they don't need to know that.
Right. It's a long story. I can't get anyone else one. I'm so sorry. Anyway, I've weeded off, and I know I shouldn't get myself one. That's what I also know, because it would fall apart. But, yeah, I am looking forward to doing longer sets, because I'm looking forward to... This is actually 15 to 20s for Regan will be good to get back into it. And plus go into the vault a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to do new stuff.
Yeah.
I've decided I'm going to do some light political stuff.
Yeah.
Like the lightest of the new political stuff I've written. Because that I need to work on it. And it's Minnesota. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And
someone had texted about doing a set at a prominent club. And was like, should I work? I want to do some new stuff. And I was like, you know what? It's okay to just practice killing with your old stuff if you're trying to
get into
create a good impression
as a first.
You can just keep doing that for a little while until some clubs don't know you're great,
right?
You know, we know you're great. You know you're great, but the club doesn't yet. So you go there, kill with the old shit, you know, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And then you can start to weave in some new stuff.
Right.
You don't have to be an artist every single time.
Well, yeah, just remember. Yeah. Remember that it's a job.
Yeah.
And you want to get work again.
Yeah.
So, and that's a good way to get work again.
Yes.
We were, oh my God, what we didn't talk about.
What?
Using someone as a reference.
Oh, next week.
All right.
Okay.
By the way, we're at an hour.
Yay. Bye.